This is a podcast from The Red House, the former home of Benjamin Britten and Peter Piers. I'm Lucy Walker. Join me, colleagues and other guests for a monthly chat about all things Britten and Piers, plus music, culture, heritage in general, and anything else that might come up. Welcome to the From the Red House podcast. I'm very excited today because I'm being joined by two guests and we're doing this online. So this is a whole new experience for all of us. And my guests are Samantha Crawford and Lana Bode, who have just put together a brilliant project called Dream Risk Sing, Elevating Women's Voices. And really want to just to start with is asking you both about them. Samantha, can you tell us something about this project?
Yes, thanks so much for having us on the podcast. Dream Risk Sing was thought up pre-COVID, and Lana and I have been researching and taking a deep dive really into what it means to be a modern woman. And we just wanted to find music and specifically texts that were set to the music that we thought expressed more of the breadth of what we think it is to be a woman. And that's how Dream Risk Sing came about, really.
And Lana, what's the themes that you're covering in the project?
The themes touch on so many different aspects of a woman's life. There's songs about growing up and going through puberty. There's songs about falling in love and navigating relationships with men, but from a woman's perspective, unlike a lot of the love songs that we hear all the time in concert halls, which are all from male perspectives. And then we touch on some of the more sort of intimate moments, I suppose, about motherhood, breastfeeding and dealing with miscarriage and, you know, things like that. So it's really sort of looking at a woman's life from a woman's perspective. Nearly all of the music in the programme is by women composers, and a lot of the texts are written by women as well. And it was really important to us to sort of tell women's stories from their own perspective. So one of the most exciting parts of the programme for me is a new commission of three songs by Charlotte Bray, and we've commissioned poetry for them as well by poet Nikki Jokowska. And those three songs are going to be about women's experiences in the workplace. We researched really extensively and couldn't find any repertoire out there about this at all. And obviously women are not just confined to the domestic sphere. So it's really important to us to include that side of women's lives in the project as well.
How extraordinary. That's brilliant. So Lana, the poetry about women in the workplace, what aspects of women in the workplace does that cover?
So we wanted it to look at sort of different facets. The first poem is about mentorship, how we're sort of walking in the footsteps of women who have come before us and made those little cracks in the glass ceiling. The second poem is about abuse and sexist discrimination that women experience in the workplace. So it touches on some of the darker matter that's come forward out of the Me Too movement and the many stories that women have shared of their experiences there. And then the third poem is about women's ambition and the things that they strive to achieve and the celebration, really, of the really kick-ass things that women do when they're not at home.
Brilliant. Yeah, I was going to ask about the sort of topical resonance of this. Samantha, obviously this whole programme has been put together because you feel there's some gaps that need to be filled in the repertoire generally, but is that aspect of it been important to this project as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Lana said, we did do a thorough deep dive and researched, and we just couldn't find sort of adequate poetry or songs that had been written about these areas before. So it was really important to us to include that because we feel like the type of woman that's been upheld in song has been often the nurturing mother, the muse, the temptress, these sorts of things. So we wanted to just broaden it. And also we want a timeless aspect to this piece. And we certainly want people to be able to engage and program them for future performances. But we also wanted to respond to what we feel the heartbeat of what women are going through at the moment is. So it was important to not sidestep those issues because obviously there is a timeless nature to them. Women have dealt with discrimination and had ambition and want to be mentored for many, many years. So it has been really important. And it's been a joy to work with a poet because there's been a really exciting exchange of ideas. And that's something that I've not had the privilege of doing before. So it's been absolutely wonderful to work on the creation of the texts, as well as obviously with Charlotte Bray, who's setting it to music.
And it certainly makes me feel incredibly privileged that Lana and I are able to create Dream Risk Sing and that we've been supported using public funding by the National Lottery through the Arts Council England.
Yeah, I'm always quite interested in when a piece is created from scratch
in a collaborative sense with the people mm-hmm. who are going to perform it. So again, Samantha, again, does working with the composer, was she experimenting on your voice, as it were, as the process was happening, or did you just sort of see the finished product?
Charlotte and I have been exchanging lots of emails, and I also sent her, you know, recorded samples of my range and voice. She asked in detail about it, and I tried to sort of describe the best I could where I thought I had the strongest resonance, and I sent her relevant clips of what I'd performed recently. But we're looking forward to seeing the manuscripts. We haven't seen the final pieces yet. So if Charlotte can't travel, because as we're recording this, it's still restrictive travel in COVID, then we will be working with her over Zoom and sort of workshopping the pieces as they begin to be prepared for the premiere, and then later the recording that we'll be making of the album.
Wow. I mean, who could have imagined that we'd ever need to adapt and work like this?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been amazing doing this project in some ways in COVID, because it just has taught us like resilience and how to just keep overcoming. We've just come up against so many different barriers that you wouldn't have if this was normal times. And in some ways it's definitely made Lana and I just even more purposeful about it. And that has brought real joy, and it will make it even more exciting when we actually physically get together in the rehearsal room. We just cannot wait to start rehearsing and physically in the same proximity. That'll be a wonderful thing.
Oh, absolutely. No, I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice, how thrilling that will be. Lana, I've known you as someone who's been a very creative and fascinating programmer. So someone who loves to put together programs. What are the other elements of this program? Which other composers are you drawing on?
We're drawing on a wide range of repertoire. Most of it is in the English language, because we wanted it to sort of really have a broad appeal to people who aren't necessarily fans of Lieder. But it was important to us also to include repertoire from women who lived and wrote a few centuries ago. So we've got songs by Clara Schumann and Alma Mahler, as well as music that's a little bit more recent by suffragette era composers like Rebecca Clark. And as we sort of dug around, it's very much a text-driven programme. So we ended up coming across music by composers who were quite new to us, including Carson Kuman, who's written a wonderful song about women oppressed within religious fundamental communities in America. And there's also some musical theatre inspired song by Ricky Ian Gordon about his own mother's life as a singer and the professional sacrifices that she was forced to make because of, you know, lack of equality. So there's really, it's quite a smorgasbord of music. And one of the most exciting parts of the project so far has been sort of creatively looking at it all together and examining how to make something that would be musically cohesive, that would tell the stories you wanted to tell, and that would also kind of create an experience for our audience. And Samantha and I spent quite a few hours together on FaceTime listening through to the programme and inserting our own kind of sound clips where recordings don't already exist, to sort of give ourselves a sense of what is this programme going to feel like for the listener. And I think we've arrived at something really, really special.
Oh, terrific. So you're actually recording some material that hasn't been recorded before?
That's right, yes. Yes, there's quite a few things that haven't been recorded before, including songs from Libby Larson's Birth Project, which we're really, really excited to be including, as well as obviously the new commission by Charlotte Bray. And particularly exciting to me is to be working with Judith Weir on new arrangements of songs from her orchestral song cycle, Woman Life Song, which has this live recording of Jesse Norman's performance at the Proms, which is absolutely wonderful to listen to, but there's not yet a studio recording of these songs, and by arranging them for piano, it's going to be so much more possible for this music to be included in future concerts. So I'm super excited about that.
And Lucy, I have a tiny bit of trivia about that. It's actually because of when I met you and wrote initially, when I was doing some research and starting off this project, and you were the one that pointed me in the direction of looking at Woman Life Song, which took quite a bit of finding, because like Lana just said, there was no and recording. So in part we definitely have you to thank for that, because if I hadn't have known of it, then it wouldn't have made it into this program.
I'm so pleased you reminded me, because I was sitting here thinking, I know that cycle, why do I know that cycle?
It's because you introduced it to us, and we ended up writing to the to Judith Weir's publishers in order to ask for a live recording of the proms, because up until that point, it wasn't even on YouTube. It was just nowhere, this recording. So it has since made it online. But yeah, it was like finding an amazing jewel, because it's this incredible piece that was written by Judith, but a set, these incredible three female poets, and then obviously Jessie performed it. So it's one of the, I think, the few like all women song cycles that's out there. So it really, really appealed to us. And it's our starting song is from that cycle, and it's very aptly called Breasts. So we're very happy to be starting our program with that.
That may be a first. I love that. That's a real kind of statement. Fantastic. And the premiere of it is in June of this year, this project, is that correct?
Yes, it is. We are going to be performing it in June in London, that's right. It's an invited audience, because there's still a few restrictions, so we just have to be thoughtful about numbers and spacing. And after that, we will be hopefully giving the premiere of Charlotte Bray's piece, the world premiere, in the autumn, and then as soon as possible after that, heading to the studio to make the album with Delphian, which we're really excited about, because obviously we'll have been working with Charlotte right up to the world premiere, and then it will go and be recorded. So yeah, lots to look forward to.
Wonderful. Lana, I wonder whether so you're covering various aspects of women's lives, as you've put. Do you think there are other aspects of women's lives that are to be explored or commissioned or unearthed that you might cover in another project?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think this project draws on, you know, previous song cycles like Cheryl Francis Hoad's One Life Stand, and obviously Woman Life Song was a huge source of inspiration. In our project, we're trying to take it, you know, much further by including references to the patriarchal violence and oppression that women have suffered from, as well as talking about women's experiences in the workplace. But it's very much, you know, I view this very much as a starting point, that Charlotte Bray's song cycle will be a historic addition to the song repertoire. And I hope it's the first of many song cycles that discuss women's lives in the workplace, you know, and just being aware of so many other stories that need to be told, you know, stories of immigrants and asylum seekers and women from refuge centres and people from non-Western backgrounds. There's just many, many things that are still not included in the song repertoire at all. And I'm very much hoping to be able to move forward and examine some of those stories in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's so much power in sharing your story. And I certainly think that I've been listening a lot to the stories of women that have been trafficked as well. And I think there's a lot to be said for bringing those songs to light. That's another area I'd love to see song repertoire commissioned.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah, for sure. I get the impression from the both of you, but also just from the world in general, that there's a real impetus at the moment that enough is enough, and that as you call your subtitle of this project, Elevating Women's Voices, but still, even in 2021, there is so much work to do. Samantha, do you think that that's unfortunately the case still?
Yeah, I do believe that, and the reason we've called it Dream Risk Sing is because we know that that is really the experience of a lot of women, is that you often do start off, you know, young and full of dreams and hope and promise. And there is sort of a risk, whether it's a financial or personal and emotional one, to sort of have your voice heard. Sing is not necessarily the literal act of singing, but just to, you know, bring your voice about. And the reason we said elevating women's voices is because we actually don't want to just be angry and shouty about the injustice that we see. We want to bring people to the table. We want to include them in the conversation. We want to be good listeners. And we would really love for this album or this program to be a jumping off point by where we invite people and people feel encouraged enough to be able to speak up and share their stories, because there's power in that. And feeling like you're alone in something and feeling shut off and silenced is so, so damaging. And I hope that even if someone doesn't feel they can necessarily articulate their own pain, it can be really, really helpful to listen to someone else perform it or speak it. And it can help you sometimes bring about that conversation that you need to have in your own life. That's possibly being a little too profound, but I want to dream big for what we're bringing to the programme. But certainly I agree that more conversations need to happen. And we're very keen that if if there was ever a chance that maybe Q&As could happen around the program material, that kind of thing, when we perform at festivals around the time of the launch of the album. It's something we're very interested in, because I think, like you said, there needs to be that directness, and people are feeling like enough is enough, and just to be able to give them the chance to speak and be heard. I hope we're bringing something to that.
For me, there's a big element of inclusivity that, you know, I love classical music and I love song repertoire, and I've become a bit disenchanted at times of sort of going to concerts and feeling like nothing that I can relate to in my life is being represented here. And the music is perhaps beautiful and wonderfully performed, but you know, where am I in this? And so I think it's really a question of opening up the doors and welcoming in women and saying, you belong here. This is, you know, about you and not just how men see you, but this is about your own experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really interesting. I'm wondering about just a couple of things perhaps Samantha said, just about music having the power then to not just, I mean, it's one of Benjamin Britten's great maxims, he wanted music to enhance people's lives, to make it better. It sounds like you're sort of following that to some degree, but more directly, actually, this will help you in dark times. This might actually have an impact. I know, Lana, you've been very interested on that aspect of music and mental well-being. Mm. Is there something around that has fueled this area as well?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think any time that women's stories are being told, it touches people, either, you know, by stirring some empathic response, or perhaps, as Samantha said earlier, by sort of highlighting and inspiring you to have, you know, a conversation that you need to have, or to take a stand that you need to take. I've recently been watching the miniseries Unorthodox on Netflix, and it's just so important that these stories of women who have been oppressed, and you tell these stories, and the idea is that women who are stuck in these communities, they have this sort of this vision, this example of a way out. So it's very much, I think, important for us to not just kind of go and perform and receive applause, but to actually have conversations, whether that's in person with people or at Q&As, at concerts, or on social media, that, you know, we want to be talking about these issues.
Yeah, we're kind of celebrating the pain, the glory, and the all of it, you know, because it's really important to talk about the issues that are oppressing and hard. But there's also just so much to the other side of it. I want to say is that we are really celebrating women too. There's a lot of joy in being a woman, and I feel like we shouldn't have to hide away the things that are like fabulous about us and that are unique to us. And so, like I mentioned, the first song is breasts in the cycle, but it is just like a joyous, like a celebration of when you go through puberty and like waiting for your boobs to come. But you just, men don't have that experience, and it is something to be joyful and like have fun about. I don't feel like we should shy away. I don't want our bodies to just be described and envisioned through the lens of a man. So we've tried to just celebrate the glory and the pain. It's all of it.
Does it make you feel differently about repertoire that you've sung, the more conventional repertoire perhaps, that does glorify women in perhaps that slightly more putting on a pedestal sense? Does it make you perform that differently, do you think?
It's a good point. I'm looking for the truth in any woman's story that I tell. I find some of the more conventional repertoire needs a longer study of the text to find what I want to bring to today's audience. For example, most of the opera roles I perform are in German, Italian, Czech or Russian, and an older version of that language. I take time on those translations, understanding the poetical and the historical references. All of these tools help me give the best, most authentic experience of the woman that I'm performing, even if it's come from a different time with different social constructs. A wonderful thing about the process of curating for the programme Dream Risk Sing is that this has been sped up because many of the works are by female creatives that have given voices to their experiences. I really hope that's the strength of where our programme lies. I found an immediate connection in the poems from Woman Life Song by Toni Morrison and Clarissa Pinkola Estes, and from Helen Grimes' song cycle Bright Travellers with poems by Fiona Benson, and similarly with the poems from Libby Larson's Birth Project. Of the more conventional repertoire, I've recently been studying Katia Kobanova and Jennifer by Janáček, two absolutely amazing roles.
and they are written almost like sung plays, because Janáček studied the rhythm of language and speech so in such detail. So they've been immensely rewarding.
Lana, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wanted to say, first of all, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with music by men, or music by, you know, what we call, quote unquote, the great composers. And we have songs from Strauss and Dvorak in this programme, and yeah, they fit in very well with everything else. So I think it's a question of sort of choosing what we do. I do think that the classical music industry as a whole does need to, you know, question what are we presenting, and you know, present things in context where they could be problematic, or just ensure that one particular story isn't dominating the whole conversation. And I think that's something that's kind of really interested me, is if you want to hear another voice, you kind of have to go out and just make it happen. And that's what we've done with this project, to sort of, you know, fundraise and plan it and manage it. And it's a logistical challenge, of course, but it's a really exciting opportunity. And it means that we can go out and tell a story that really means something to us, and that concert programme can then sit very nicely alongside things that may be more traditional, or that may not include a woman's perspective quite as closely.
Something that Lana and I have really enjoyed about a couple of the songs we've included is that they're not the first person experience. It's a daughter telling the story of her her mother's sacrifices, which is great. So you get that perspective of time and sort of looking back, or the eyes of a child speaking to the older mother, and them not necessarily understanding why the decisions were made, because it's often the songs are set from a mother speaking to the child. But I really enjoyed that kind of inverting of it. And then there's another one where it's their granddaughter, actually, the Carson Kuman song. She's speaking about the life that her grandmother had, and that again is it adds like the two generation dimension, which I think is really important, because one of the other areas we're covering in the program is legacy. What does it mean to leave a legacy? What is a legacy? What are women's legacies? And the final piece we're including is by Michelle Brumman, and that's called My Daughters. And that's very much a piece about handing on the baton and fighting the fights that need to be fought, and keep inspiring each other, and not to apologise for who you are along the process. So it's a really beautiful piece. And I didn't know much of Michelle's work before this project, so I've loved that I've discovered new composers along the way, quite a few. So that's been brilliant.
That's wonderful. That's interesting about legacy, because that it's one of those sort of curious things that somehow certain elements or characteristics or behaviours are generally coded one gender or another. Legacy often is seen as a kind of very like an alpha male obsession, you know, with your succession, your line, your lineage, your name being carried forward. So that's really moving that you've addressed that from a female perspective as well. Just on composers that you admire and music that you love, we're coming towards the end of our time. So I was just going to ask about a couple of pieces or songs or anything that you would like to share and tell people about. So Lana, what do you have?
There's a wonderful song by Jermaine Taillefer, which I discovered recently on Jodi Devos's new album, And Love Said. It's called Tu Mi Shama. And it's just a profound and strong and yet simple, reflective discussion about love. And it's wonderful to have that from a female composer's perspective. And Jodi follows it immediately on her album with You Take My Breath Away by Freddie Mercury. So it's just a wonderful example of how possible it is to kind of open the doors and you know, blur the boundaries between these different genres. So I highly recommend listening to that. And the other piece I would recommend is go listen to Michelle Brauerman. She's a fabulous singer-songwriter, and she's got so many brilliantly funny songs, but also some really powerful ones. And one of my favourites is called London in the Rain, and it's just a beautiful description of this sort of emotional experience that a city can give you, and the nostalgia you can feel for it when you're away from it. So when I wasn't wonderful. Able to be in London, in central London properly during the pandemic, it was lovely to listen to that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. I'm very keen to go listen to those. Samantha, what have you got?
Well, my life is being dominated a lot in lockdown by my two very small daughters taking up a lot of my waking time. So I thought I could be all profound and say I've been listening to lots of concertos. But the truth is, for any parents out there who are going mad, in lockdown and having to play nursery rhymes, I actually found one that doesn't make you want to stab your ears. So I thought I'd put on the playlist that there's an artist who, a beautiful folk singer, and who has done lovely instrumental arrangements to all her pieces, and it's called Nursery Rhymes 1, 2, 3. And I've been listening to the old, I thought if I pick one song it would be Old King Cole. It's very merry, it picks me up, and I just thought I'd be authentic in who, in where I am as a woman right now. So that's one piece, and the other piece is quite different. It's I've been really enjoying, when I'm not singing and thinking about texts all the time, I like to listen to music without words sometimes. I just find it a bit of a rest for my brain. It doesn't click on my sort of singer brain. So I've been listening to Michael Lucarelli, who's a classical guitar player, and really love his version of the Malaguena. I'm really sorry if I've said that not authentically Spanish, but he has loads of albums out, and I've been really enjoying a different flavour of music to all the wonderful soprano and piano repertoire I've been looking through in researching Dream Risk Sing. So they're my two very different additions to the playlist.
Fantastic. Yeah, I love that. It's
Elkin Cole is great.
The playlist is defined by being quite eclectic, so this is welcome.
Great.
My two are, well, inspired by your project, female composer Elizabeth Lutyens, and a work of hers I came across recently called Au Saison au Château, which is from 1946, I think. And it's for soprano and quite eclectic bunch of instruments. And it's really out there. It's very high-lying, and it has got that kind of slightly spooked eerie feeling, but I really, really responded to it. The settings of Rambo, and it's just brilliant. And then other side of the scale, perhaps, is just a song I came across by a singer called Odetta, and it's just called Hit or Miss. And the lines of it are, you know, I gotta be me, hit or miss. It's just like, you know, whatever happens, I gotta be me, even if it's, you know, not going well. And it's a really fantastic song. So
that sounds great. Can I just jump in and say one little thing? Mine were not as profound, but what I would say is, if for anyone who hasn't listened to Woman Life Song, I highly, highly recommend you go and listen to the whole cycle. It's available on YouTube now, and it has absolutely incredible instrumentation. It's just a really amazing piece. It's got these really quite profound poems, and Jesse Norman obviously is an absolute dream performer. So definitely worth checking out. Doesn't have to go on the playlist, but just to say, please listen to this not very often heard, but fabulous piece of music, whole cycle.
That's really great. I haven't heard it throughout the whole thing. So that would be
brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic. It's well worth a listen.
Fantastic. Just before we finish, you both obviously have interest in other music, and the disc you recommended, Lana, has Ty Fair followed by Freddie Mercury on it. What do you think about the sort of mixing up of genres that previously have been kept very separate?
I think there's absolutely no reason not to. I mean, you do have to do it sensitively, obviously, to create something that kind of feels musically cohesive, and you're not sort of jarring back and forth between two very, very different styles. You need to make sure you're taking your audience with you. But I think that there's a lot of great music out there that is from other genres, and why exclude it from our programming?
Yes, but for sure. I remember, if I think it was the concert that you were involved in, Lana, when it was Lucy Schaefer at the Britain Studio a few festivals ago, and she did a great set that included Bernstein and Randy Newman and all sorts of things.
It was that concert that actually introduced me to Michelle Brauerman.
There you go. I thought the name was familiar. Yes. Yeah. So that worked. I thought that worked brilliantly. Fantastic. Great. Well, thank you both so much for giving me your time and talking about this project. I'm so excited to hear it come to fruition when it does. And I can see that it has so much potential. And I'm all power to you both. Really excited by it.
Thanks so much. It's been great to talk us through.
Thanks, Lucy. It's been absolutely wonderful to talk through Dream Risk Sing with you.